Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. We got our normal panel here. Me, Alex, and Mark, or Mark, Alex, and I, if you want to be grammatically correct.
The panel of losers, the panel of nerds. How do we put this?
The outcast Black panel, holes? Apparently.
Yeah.
We've been the outcast panel, apparently. If you ask MST, we're like the dirty group they like to keep under the rug. They don't like to talk about us.
Yeah, what the heck's with that? We do like all the fun stuff.
You guys made a reputation for being too rowdy before the safety officer came on board.
No, the safety officer does not slow us down whatsoever.
No, not really.
Well, I haven't had any reasons to yet. I haven't had to put the kibosh on anything. The safety officer's been not very safe lately as himself anyway, so making bad decisions.
I don't think I've seen the safety officer make a single bad decision. So he tried to climb a hill that he wasn't ready for.
I wasn't ready for it, but you know what? That hill led to bigger and better things. I then convinced my wife to getting tires.
And your confidence went up.
Yeah, it did. It went up a little bit. But the tires, man, these last wintery days, these tires have been just acting phenomenal. I am so impressed.
Mud terrains are mud terrains.
We need to get one of those rubber peelers or whatever for doing the tires, the tread on tires.
I don't think that'll help start, them.
We just got to start stippling those blocks he's got on there. Come on, man.
I don't want to do that. No.
I do. That's so much fun.
If studs were legal in our state, he probably would put studs on him.
Oh, imagine mud terrains with studs. That'd fix all. It'd make the perfect tire, dude.
Yeah. I just can imagine you just hitting the fucking rev limiter and studs flying out into windshields.
I never hit the rev limiter because I'm always scared it's going to go boom.
I don't think you can hit the rev limiter.
I don't think I ever have.
I did. That day I went up the hill, and then I got mud all over Alex's face.
Yeah, what the heck?
That was funny. I thought I hit him. I felt really bad. And then he's over the top of the hood. I can't see him. And I thought you were doing like hand motions. Like, oh, no, I can't see him, dude. What are you doing? Yeah, that's what he goes. No, I was just clearing my face. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm stuck. So that was
you fun. Weren't stuck.
No, we got out. I could have always went forward. Yeah, I could have always went back. I just didn't want to. But how's everybody? Yeah, it was definitely a hassle. But I guess let's do a little recap. I haven't talked to you guys much this week. Just been busy and dealing with the work grind and stuff. How's everybody been?
Well, been 2 days of cold, and today was the day to test the generator.
You mean 3 days?
Yeah, 3 days. It took me an hour and a half to get the generator started on the farm. I needed two bottles of diesel 911 and a couple cans of ether to get her going.
Yeah, so that sounds about right.
That wasn't great. Yeah. Then after generator testing day, it was time to take out the how do I say this without being morbid? The birds that were not strong enough. I had to remove them from the barns.
If anybody doesn't know, the mortality rate with birds, not great. They die. Yeah, it's normal. When I worked at Tractor Supply, we'd get them through the fucking mail, guys. So you'd get chicks in through the USPS. They'd call you because they stink so damn bad. They're like, will you hurry up and pick these chicks up? We get there, pick them up. At least when we open the box, at least a couple are dead. It's pretty normal in the chick industry. So,
yeah. Mm. And then they get older and then they get mean and they start killing each other because turkeys are turkeys. But
yeah, Cornish cross will do the same thing. Meat birds, they're just they don't get the protein that they need. Or there's not enough food around and they just start eating each other out.
So, yeah, then I went to do that and my tractor wouldn't start. So then I spent an hour and a half with diesel 911 and ether to get the tractor started. So yeah, that's how my week's going.
Wow. How about you, Mark? How's been working outside?
Nothing. I've been home.
Lucky.
Yeah, our boss caught it for Monday and Tuesday. Yesterday morning, we got a call. Said, don't worry about coming in today. So we didn't come in today either. Hopefully we'll work Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, it's supposed to warm up a little bit by then. I think today, Grant is supposed to get, 4 to 6 inches tonight, supposedly. Yep. But again, that never happens. But,
and then another 6 inches over the next few days. I mean, we've got a little over 4 inches right now. Well, when I came in, so
yeah,
we had around 4 inches at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, just we're up in Alaska right now. I guess it's 40 up there with green grass.
Right.
What the hell?
I just I want more snow, man. I'm sick of this. I want to be plowing like 2 foot of powder. I'm just I don't like this half-ass snow shit. It's like 4 inches in where we are. We're so close to lake effect, but we're not at the same. Like we hit this weird area where we don't get affected, but like White Cloud, 30 minutes south will, and north right. Sorry, 30 minutes north will, and then other people around us will. It's like we miss it. We're in a weird bubble.
We usually get lake effect every year. This is the first year where we're missing it.
Yeah, I guess we got a little bit more last year, but to me, when I used to live up by Travers, I remember us getting like a foot a night sometimes, and it was like we don't get nothing like that around here.
That was last year. We got a foot and a half overnight last year.
I don't feel feel like we got that much, did we?
Yeah, October. Dude, I had drifts in front of my brooder that were taller than me, and I had to dig them out with a shovel.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why the fuck I keep forgetting about that little storm time. Yeah.
It was like a week and a half.
Yeah. That was actually a lot of fun for doing deliveries. I was doing deliveries on the side for old ladies and stuff that couldn't go out, couldn't drive around. And so I was driving around in it for them. I lost a lot of money, but it was a lot of fun. Because you lose a lot of money in gas going through that shit.
I got the 4Runner stuck in a snowdrift in the farm parking lot or driveway just trying to mess around. And it was like 20 miles an hour to dead stop in an instant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you also had fun with the FedEx driver.
Oh, that was this year. Yeah, the FedEx driver that fell into my yard.
Yikes.
I'm not looking forward to cleaning that up in the spring.
Yeah. We had a FedEx driver that got stuck in a driveway at my aunt's house. He was just trying to pull out and he just got stuck in the gravel. So he got out of the truck and it was it was a little over a year ago. Cause it was my diaper party for Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
And so all our family there, all the guys, of course, were walking up. Let me get in there. I'll drive it out. I'll get it out. The guy, he got right out. He's like, all right, yeah, go ahead. So one of my uncles got in there and starts driving the fucking FedEx truck. The rest of them are behind it, pushing them and rocking them out. I went to the truck and got my strap and everything because I had that sitting right there. Mm-hmm. But by the time I got my strap ready and drove the truck down there, they rocked it out.
I hooked up the winch to this FedEx truck and dragged him across my yard, but it wasn't strong enough to pull him back up on the driveway. So I mean, the 4Runner in general wasn't, not just the winch. So I went and got the loader, and the loader pulled him up in like 1 second. I'm like, man, I should have just went and did that from the get-go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm hoping that we get that kind of snow, but I do have a trip coming up. It's not really an overlandy trip. Sienna and I, we're just tired, man. We need a break. Like, we're getting all worked up over my job and everything and how much we freaking hate it. And I'm like, I just need, like, we need to take a weekend and just get away from things. So I went and found a hotel in Traverse City for like $60 a night. And we're going to go up there for a couple nights, and I'm going to get a day pass for Great Wolf Lodge for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take the kid to go play in the water park on Great Wolf Lodge. And
Hell yeah.
It's cheaper to actually get two nights at a hotel and then pay for day passes to Great Wolf Lodge than it is to actually just rent a room for two nights at Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh yeah.
100%. That depends, because if you go up with two parties, you can get one of the suites with like multiple beds and stuff. And that is significantly cheaper than a hotel room.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If you're going up with two different parties, that's nice, 'cause you can split it. But yeah, we're just going by ourselves. It was kind of an off, not really a planned thing. We just needed to get out and do something. And for me, it was like, I needed to get out and do something that was, I don't know, not the normal, staying out the same trails. And then Zach, and a couple other guys were talking about doing some trails near, I think, Atlanta area, something like that. So we're going to do that fun stuff, or we're going to go up there Friday night, stay, do the whole all Saturday. We'll play in the water park Sunday. You know, we'll sleep in the hotel, and then Saturday night, we'll sleep in the hotel. And then Sunday morning, we'll get up and meet those guys out at the trails. And then we'll do some trail riding for the day and come home.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll be doing steering stuff.
Yeah. I was hoping I could get someone else to come in and do the whole, Great Wolf Lodge thing with us. But the it was just too fast. And like I said, I need the break. I about walked out the the other day and quit without any kind of notice or anything. Just getting tired, man. Retail was fun while it lasted. I have a certain amount of patience for it. And when I can't recharge my batteries, when I can't go out and camp, when I can't go out and do some of the shit that I love to do that recharges my batteries exponentially, then it just drains on me. And the winters are really tough for that, especially when you leave at dark and you go home at dark. So you don't ever see daylight when, you know, you're working in the winters like this. So,
right.
So it's tough. And, I'm looking at some other options right now, and of course next year it'll be a little different for winter camping because we'll actually be set up for it. But we are not set up for winter camping at all. We don't have anything. We used a buddy heater in the colder months of fall, which did okay with our tent, but you know, we had a oxygen meter in our tent, and to keep it warm enough in there, it was kind of tough.
Yeah.
And as Alex and I, we kind of talking about how much, I guess, monoxide or whatever you want to call it gives off. It's the oxygen meter went off in the middle of the night when I had the tent almost completely sealed, which was not what I meant to do. I thought I had a better draft through it, but I was going through a pound, I'd say pound tank every 2 hours.
Oof.
So it was like, what, I was going through three or four tanks a night.
But if you, I mean, you could help that a lot by getting like a 20 pounder.
Yeah. The 20 pounder would have been great. When we were out there, I think we all kind of knew that was like a for now kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to spend money on a 20 pounder and all that because diesel heater really was where I was going to end up anyway.
Right.
But yeah, no, it ended up being kind of expensive doing it that way. 'Cause we were there for what, a week? No, a week, just, like a weekend, 4 days.
It was like 5 days, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. 'Cause I think we had the heater for 4 days. 'Cause that first night we were like, fuck, it's cold. And and going through, we went through, like I said, probably four tanks a night. And then that doesn't include cooking or anything like that. We probably went through another two tanks in cooking.
So, I don't know, dude. I stayed nice and warm on my bougie-ass inflatable cot and my army sleeping bag.
I mean, getting off the ground does help with...
Yeah, getting off the ground, for sure. I think the biggest issue wasn't me as much as it was like making sure my son and wife were enjoyed. Like wife is not built for that.
I just like giving you crap.
Oh yeah, I know. But no, my wife's just not built for cold weather, and to make it as enjoyable as I can so that she agrees to go out because mm-hmm. she will not agree to go out if it's not comfortable, especially for sleeping. Like, so I, you know, that's the reason for not really going out this year. Setting up a tent in the snow, all that kind of bullshit is not going to work for her. So I think if we, I think when we get the rooftop tent next year, hopefully, that'll be a little bit better, a little bit more secure. It's off the ground too. So,
there's a difference between a cot and a rooftop tent. A rooftop tent is inherently going to be colder than a cot. Because
yeah, you're gonna have that all that wind passing through, right? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have any insulation.
With the cot, it gets you off the ground, but you're still in a wind blocked tent.
Right.
Whereas with a rooftop tent, you're basically on the ground with wind running under you.
Yeah. So my theory with that, and let's just say we're not going to use the diesel heater, but my theory with that is that it comes with like a 3-inch foam pad that we're going to use kind of as like an insulator, and that foam, the foam pads usually work pretty well for holding in the heat.
And then if you put, what's that reflective insulation? If you put that on the floor and the roof, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They also make a hanging comforter pretty much that hangs on the inside lining. I think our buddy Zach actually has one, and he used it in his rooftop, and he said that he didn't even have to really put the heater on. And I believe that it's a really good insulation layer.
Yeah,
no different from sleeping under the blankets, I suppose. But
yeah, I was about to say Roof Nest. I know they have their own one that they put up in theirs.
Yeah, I'm
trying to think of other ones, but
the tent, the 4x4 Colorado tent is a canvas tent. Mostly canvas anyway, so it's a heavier fabric. It's gonna stop that wind a lot better, and I think it's gonna hold heat in better too. So
I think I'm gonna buy a new tent for next year too.
You're gonna go for like a canvas hot tent, aren't you?
100% going for a canvas hot tent with wood stove.
Yeah, I think that's a super good thing for like for you. I think that'd be a great way to do it. A little tiny wood stove and a hot tent. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking for ones that are quick set up. Like One Tigress has their teepee top tent thing.
Yep.
It's one pole and like six or seven stakes. So that's probably the route I'm going to go. That way it's literally like 2-minute setup and then pop in the wood stove.
You know, I'm just thinking about this. I would love to do a comparison one night with my diesel heater heating your tent versus the wood stove to see how much more or less efficient, how much fuel we go through, if it can stick to the same temps. I think that'd be a fun comparison because obviously everybody knows that wood heat, once you get it going, is pretty superior in most ways. I mean, it gives off a lot more heat, but you have to constantly maintain it, whereas a diesel heater is not so much. But it's the downside to the diesel heater, other than it using diesel fuel, is that it runs typically off of a battery or power source. Right. So I think that would be a really cool comparison to see if the temps stay, and then, you know, how much kind of goes into it.
I want the wood stove because I can use it for cooking just as well as I can for heating.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, it's more set up and it's more work, but there's also something romantic about sitting by a wood stove, even if you're alone.
I can agree to that. And I think before my current setup, I probably would have went that same way too. I think what works best with what I have right now is going to be probably that, but I would, it's funny you say romantic because that does have some kind of part into there, man. There's something about it.
Dude, it gives the perfect ambiance for beating off, dude. It's just awesome.
It does, man. Keeps it warm. You could throw your lotion on the stove to get it pretty warm.
Dude. Oh yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
Nothing like a little bit of hot oil. Yeah, a little bacon maybe grease that you had. Anyway, But no, it's you know, it's kind of like the whole log cabin thing.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, having a log cabin with your little wood stove out on some property. It's yeah, there's something kind of romantic about that whole thing. But it's I think it's gonna be cool. I think you definitely. I'm wondering how much of that you could store on your roof once that tent is down. Bet so, you could do pretty much the whole tent up there.
The couple that I'm looking at, they break like this one here. I guess I could link it. This is the one Tigris. It's got a 12.3 foot floor width. So, you know, diameter.
Yeah.
And it breaks down into smaller than a small pack out.
That's good, man.
So I'd be able to throw it in a pack out and throw it on my roof, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a sleeps probably what, 3 to 5 people?
I would say 2 comfortably if you have a wood stove in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it is round instead of square. So, and the, you know, obviously the roof slopes. So you can't really take up as much space as you normally would.
And there's a center pole.
Yep. Center pole.
I don't know if this is going to be your setup next year, the queen sized foam pad, no. But I would look into that because I don't know that it would fit.
For wintertime, I do not plan on using that queen size inflatable cot.
Figured not.
That is, I don't think my wife would go camping with me in the winter, for one. And for two, that is only because she is not happy sleeping on her own cot.
Another thing is we got to watch for memory foam because it does freeze during cold temperatures.
Right.
That's a good point. Right. Yeah. So that's something that I'll look at too, I think. Because like I said, that foam pad that comes in there, I think it's part foam, part air. I have to double check when next time I look at it, but it's I'll have to take a look at that too. But I'm just, you know, I'm ready to do that traveling, man. I'm ready to get out and start traveling west, and that FJ is going to be our fallback shelter, our housing, if anything goes awry. You know, if something ever happens while we're trying to do that plan, we can always live in the truck. Semi comfortably, right. You know, we have the fridge, we have all that. It doesn't take a whole lot. So we're kind of hoping to do that.
I could just get a one person cot tent and then put a diesel heater into it.
I debate about that.
I've seen people, they'll run the diesel heater on the outside and they'll just run a hose into like not like a bivy stack, but like. Well, I know. Yeah, I meant outside, but like I'm talking about, they'll do like a one person hiking, hiking tent almost, and just put it in at the foot.
That's an option for me as well. Though I really like the teepee idea, so I'll probably end up doing that.
Yeah, like you said, there is something about that.
You know, the other way I look at it is with the teepee. If it's really cold and we don't want to sit at a fire, because you know it's fucking winter time. Right. We can fit 3 or 4 people sitting in the teepee and play cards or something.
Yeah. And, you know, I hate to say this too, but I think I was looking at, I was looking at some of Benji's videos on YouTube, and they have that propane the fireplace that made out of like the ammo can or whatever. Mm-hmm. That thing is kind of cool. I would love to have like just a fire pit all the time. So when you're winter camping, something like that would be really cool.
So the propane fire pits, I still think wood is better here, but when you get out west to places that have burn bans, that's when you really need the propane fire pit. Around here, a propane fire pit, it's an extra thing you got to haul around, and it's extra. I mean, you got to stock more propane.
It's bulky.
It is kind of bulky.
So let's put out scenario. It's the middle of the winter in the UP.
Mm-hmm.
We're out camping. Alex, you have 2 or 3 bundles of wood.
Okay.
I have a 5-pound propane tank on the wheel, like we were kind of talking about earlier.
Okay.
And I have the fireplace. In that situation, winter camping, in both of you guys, I guess, what would you say would be better for the night?
The wood.
The wood.
Right. Yeah.
That 5-pound pro with that fire pit, that 5-pound propane, you're going to get a couple hours. With 5 bundles of wood, I can probably get, you know, a night, maybe 2 nights, depending on how big of a fire I'm burning.
So, okay. And then we add in, you know, the amount of space that 5 bundles of wood takes. Is it worth it still?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm starting to lean when it comes to all you want the fire pit for currently is just sitting around and some warmth.
Yeah, you gotta
have that. I'm not right. Right, but like throwing up, let's say we're throwing up chairs and we have, you know, and I'm just saying this on two separate because I'm interested to hear. But the scenario is that we found our camp up there, a couple feet of snow. It's just unrealistic to find wood out in the couple feet of snow in the middle of the UP. That's going to be dry enough.
I think you'd be surprised. That burial wood is actually going to be pretty dried.
Sure.
And if you're starting with a couple of stacks, you start drying wood before you put it on.
Mm-hmm. I could say that. We're looking at setup time. We're looking at digging the snow away from the wood, cutting the wood, etc. And then we're looking at plugging in a hose, lighting the fire pit. The time to do both of them, the amount of space that it takes up in your truck to have that much wood stored, is it still looking like you're... I mean, and this is just purely not for cooking. This is just for ambiance. Really?
So the thing is, it depends. If I have to carry around a fire ring of my own, if I've got the portable one that Mark's got,
mm-hmm.
then those 4 stacks of wood and that 1 portable fire pit take up about the same amount of space as a 20-gallon propane tank and a propane fire pit.
Yep.
So I don't know, man, because I'm like I'm saying, you know, you have a 5-10 pound tank on the back of let's say the back of the FJ on the spare tire carrier.
I guess it just depends. If you prefer propane, get propane. If you prefer wood, get wood.
I'm just trying to think of it as from like objectively, and that's kind of why I'm asking about this. I'm trying to put more scenarios in to see if that changes it or if you're, you know,
the only time I see propane being worth it is if we're in a burn ban, because you can burn propane during a burn ban.
Yeah. Well, even in a burn ban, most typical burn bans, if you have a fire pit, I think in the UP at least, and if you have a fire pit that's a contained fire pit, that's different, isn't it?
I'm talking about out west.
Yeah, out west. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, see, I'm kind of an in-between on that because I like the crackling of the fire and everything, but if I'm sitting for 30 minutes or so and we're just sitting by the fire to warm up and chill and we just got done wheeling all day, then it almost, to me, it's like, well.
If you're only looking at 30 minutes, then yeah, the propane makes the most sense.
Yeah, so it's conditional for sure.
Because to me, if I'm setting up a fire, I'm going to be there for 2 or 3 hours at a minimum.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying. I guess in my situation, I probably wasn't clarifying, but yeah, to me, it's like we're out wheeling all day. We're setting up tents. We just want something hot to sit by for a little bit, chit chat for an hour or so, and then we're going to bed pretty much. And to me, in those certain conditions, I would like, I think a propane fire pit with the space that you would save would probably be better. But yeah, if you're going to be there for a while, if we're all hanging around the fire, you know, having a couple beers and all that, fire pit, to bring in the romanticism behind it too, fire pit's just the way to go. And I think if you have a fire ring, like what Mark says, that contains and uses that heat a lot better, They're just having it
way more efficient.
Right. Oh, yeah. Exactly. So like, you know, it holds that heat, pushes it out. It's a lot better than just throwing it on the ground, because that's how, what I was kind of pointing at was, you know, fire in the snow, because there's no, you know, no pits around where we're at. So we're starting a fire in the snow with the wood in the back of your truck.
That's versus, way more
work. Right. Yeah. So, that's interesting, because I think it is conditional.
Then the other argument people have for propane is there's not much smoke. Well, with that fire pit that Mark's got, there's not a lot of smoke. It burns.
No, really there isn't.
Yeah, there is something to say about those. The design of those fire pits actually do work pretty well. So, I don't know. Did we actually talk about that? Mark, why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because I don't know if
we talked about it in the Mayo recap.
Mark actually won a fire pit from his trip. So,
yep,
that was actually pretty cool. I haven't actually seen it yet, but we'll have to.
You didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You didn't come over that day that Patrick
came over. Yeah, he was the part where Patrick was over, which we were burning out in the middle of winter and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But that is a. But yeah, having a ring like that for sure. If you already have the ring, makes more sense. But
also, yeah, I was just curious. It's way cheaper, because I think, was it $100 for that? I think normally.
Yeah, something like that. And the
propane, I like to say propane ones like $200 or more.
Yeah, on the size. Looking at cost for sure. I would say though, if we're sourcing bundles of wood, $7 a bundle or so each time that we're out. Longevity, it's $2.40 a gallon for propane. It almost makes more sense to have propane long wise. I mean, it'll pay for itself better.
I don't know, because you're going to go through that gallon faster than what a fire pit would go through a bundle of wood.
Mm-hmm. That just depends on your wood. But also, my issue with propane is that you're going to want to use it for cooking at the same time. So you're getting two different things to use that propane up with.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
We just need to invent a diesel fire pit. It'll be great, guys. I see no problems with this plan.
No, but that's a good point, Mark. You'd have to run like a splitter of some sort if you wanted to try to cook at the same time, and there's just not enough pressure. Most likely, if you run in a 20-pound tank, there's just not enough pressure between the two to actually do anything.
So actually, it looks like you can get smaller propane pits for like $150. That's
like I said, it depends on your size.
That's really not bad.
And I'm talking ammo can. So I mean, it's really
that one.
Yeah,
that one's really expensive.
I know. But that's what I'm talking about. Is that one that's like giant, this big? So when we're talking about space saving. And it's a foot by 6 inches. And
whereas you could just I'm thinking of the majority of propane fire pits I've seen that are a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, giant cylinders.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Okay, so yeah, I'm sorry, my bad.
No, you're good. I totally forgot. That thing actually puts out a lot of heat too. So I mean, it can kind of see why you do that one.
Does that change your mind a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I still like wood, but that one's also going to use less propane. Yes, that one I would probably use over wood in the wintertime.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So ignore the cost of that. Let's say you won it.
Yeah, from 100%.
Now, yeah, okay. Yeah. I that is what I was speaking of, but it's good to see. I'm curious if something like that might be better for us in the future, as far as maybe having one of us have something like that, because
I could kind of see that when we did the MST poker trip, we could have hung out in the parking lot a little bit and threw that up real quick, paint up and just heat everyone up
real quick. Right. Yeah, even when we're at lunch, you know, you think about how long it would take to set up, maybe a minute.
Yeah,
and I'm going off of having that tank off the back. The tire.
Yeah. Maybe you guys would have let me hang out a little longer then.
That it was a lot of people were cold. So yeah, I think I think that would have helped having something like that in the middle.
I was so not ready right to get back in that truck.
I know you weren't, but everybody else was. And we were like, dude, it's so much warmer sitting in the vehicles right now. But part of it is I don't have any like winter clothing. I have a sweatshirt and that's it. I have a winter coat, but I've had it for like 6 years. And the last time I tried it on, it was baggy as hell. But I tried it on here a couple days ago and whew, it's tight.
I think I only wore my Carhartt hoodie that trip. I don't remember bringing a winter coat.
I don't think you did. It wasn't really that cold out, but it was just the wind and everything else.
Yeah, it's the wind.
I'm pretty sure I had my Hey Dudes at that time. Because I had my Hey Dudes on. Oh, no, I didn't. I had my hiking boots on because I was going to switch to my Mucks if anything crazy happened. I wasn't really anticipating that last hole, so I didn't really didn't switch to my Mucks just when that happened. So they didn't end up getting used. But
I think I brought my Mucks, but I don't think I was wearing them. I wore my combat boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, for anyone wondering, combat boots are a terrible choice with mud and snow because it builds up under your feet.
I had a pair of combat boots. They were like a light tan that I bought from Buckley Old Engine Show for like $25. And I'm sure they were some off brand, whatever, but they sucked in winter. The traction was mud terrain.
The only reason I wear combat boots is because I have so many that I got for free. And right. I have a hard time buying new clothes and shoes when I have them that work.
See, that's the thing is like, Sienna's like, why don't we just buy you a coat? And I'm like, I don't plan to be this fat forever. I don't want to waste the money. That's the thing is like I think I was wearing a 2X before Jasper was born. I was wearing a 2X and now I'm wearing like 3 to 4, depending on what it is.
Oh, dude, it's so crazy. We were at Sam's Club and they had these really, really nice winter coats marked down to like $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried on the 2X, which was the largest size they had, and it fit me like a 1X. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm too fat to get good deals. Like, now I can't be fat anymore.
Yeah, I've started eating a little bit healthier, and it's going to change, man. I have so many nice, expensive winter clothing layers that I invested in when I was more of a 2X size.
Yeah.
Like actual layers that are really nice for it. So I'm just losing money at this point. I'm not going to spend a bunch of money on 4X because I'm not going to be a 4X for long.
I think it's really funny because I've been losing weight for listeners. I've lost like I'm down to 265. So that's like 35 pounds in the last 3 months. And I noticed that my army gear from when I got out of the reserves, all of that is starting to get super baggy on me.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great feeling, but my Milwaukee coat's still tight. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a good feeling, dude. I noticed that I've started to lose a little bit ever since I started this job. Just moving around a little bit more, not more of a desk job, but I've started to lose a little bit. I'm not eating as much because I'm not sitting bored or anything like that. So that helps. I did kind of pick up smoking a little bit again. And but that's just been like, I was so close to flipping out and just throwing my keys down and walking out the other day. I went, took my lunch break, went to the gas station, picked up a Breeze or whatever these little vape things are. I was like, I just need to take a couple puffs. And now I'm kind of back. I'm back to it, but like I could stop anytime. I never really liked stopping anyway.
Yeah, I drifted from vaping because I've been vaping since like 2015, 2016. And I just drifted from that to the like Rogues or Zins, just because getting the stuff for my vape has gotten so fucking hard.
Yeah, I the one thing that I didn't like about it was that I always got like my juice would leak over and fill in my juice, and I'd vape like a freight train because I was only doing 3 mg for the longest time. So I'd pretty much just breathe it in. It sounded like Darth Vader. Just,
I mean, that's what I do.
And yeah, and then you know, then I'd have to wipe my windows out of my truck every couple of days, and that was honestly, that pissed me off, because it was like, if you like the nicotine you have to wipe out of your windows is so much harder to wipe than just like fog or anything. It'd be the one thing to piss me off.
But I can't stand dispos, dude. They taste bad, they don't hit as good, and they make my throat burn.
Yeah, this one's not bad. I don't know. I just got a breeze because my aunt used one, and it was just what I was. I've never used a dispo before that, but this isn't bad. Like I said, I only hit it when I just feel like,
yeah,
I want to, I guess, which I guess isn't really, it's not like it's a little bit. Like, I've been hitting it throughout today and just kind of here and there whenever I feel like it, but I feel like I'm already better. I don't know if it's placebo, but I already feel like I'm a little calmer. You know what I mean?
I'm picturing the chapter art that Mark's going to make with AI. It's going to be an FJ just sucking on a mod.
Yeah, for real. But yeah, it's, I mean, I stopped when he found out we were having him, and I really didn't want to because I liked doing it. And, yeah. But now that he's born and everything, it's like, nicotine was a really good appetite suppressant. it really is an appetite suppressant.
Oh, it is.
When I stopped smoking, I gained probably 30, 40 pounds just trying to find. Yeah, dude, it was fast. 30 to 40 pounds just using, you know, like just, I don't know, just substituting. And it was quick though. It was like from then actually having him. And I don't know what kind of bullshit happened after that, but like I gained fucking crazy amount of weight between that. Another 40 to 60 pounds.
I've always known you as a big guy, so.
That's, and I know. Well, when we met, I was bigger, you know, because Jasper's already born, but.
That was the joke.
Yeah. So but I was 275 before Jasper, and I was meal prepping every day and. Meal prepping every day, and I was going to the gym, and it was a you know, more of a muscular 275 is going to the gym three times a day. So I was doing pretty good. I had such bad, you know, body dysmorphia about it, though. I had no idea that I was actually doing good until I look back on my photos. I'm like, damn, God damn it. What did I do?
Yeah. When I look back at Army photos, I'm like, God damn, there's like half of me there.
Oh yeah. When people are they're like, you know, there was someone the other day was like, did you see that big guy, dude? He had to be like 300 some pounds. And I'm like, damn, because I'm 300 some pounds. So but people don't like know that I'm like 300 some pounds, but they're like, yeah, he was big, man. He was like 300 some pounds. Or like when people compare big people, and they're like, you know, he was a big guy like you. And I was like, fuck.
My wake-up call, we were testing the scales on our feed bins, and my boss is like, well, this one is calibrating at 300 pounds when you stand on it. And I'm like, huh, I'm not that big. So he went and got a floor scale, and I was 300 pounds on the dot. And I'm like, well, it's time to lose weight.
Yeah, I think right now I'm at probably 360. 350. I haven't weighed myself in probably a month or two.
You don't look like you carry that much weight though. Like, you're a bigger guy, don't get me wrong, but I would never have guessed high threes.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. 360, brother. And that I look to see, and I'm like, and for the listeners, this is just my kind of humor, so don't, but I look to see, and I was like, shoot me. Like, fucking just kill me now. Like, I told her if I ever got above like 340 to just shoot me, because at that point I'm too far gone. And I looked at her and I was like, shoot me. The doctor looks at me. I'm like, no, I don't need a grippy sock vacation. I'm good. I'm just joking. But
apparently dark humor is not healthy. And I had someone, I had someone tell me that it's not healthy that I plan on dying on in space when I'm 80, and I'm like, why? That's a long, happy life.
Yeah, I know. I joke about people. I'd be like, yeah, I wasn't really planning on living past 23, so I don't really know what the hell I'm doing with my life. Yeah, still figuring it out because I wasn't planning on getting this far. So, yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. I have the knowledge. I have the skill. It's odd because I'm kind of, the more I think about it, the more I feel like it is a weird type of addiction. It's hard for me to like.
Let's get gym memberships at that place in Nuevo and start working out together.
I have gym membership at 24 or Planet, or was it the one in Fremont? Because when I was working at Fremont, I'd go
right.
But it's too expensive now to do two of them because that's what I was gonna do.
What if you just cancel that one and move to the one in New
Mexico? I have to pay out fee or whatever, which is the rest of the year.
What? That's wild. Yeah,
so it's like a couple $100.
I'm going to do the one in New Mexico just because it's close.
Yeah, I wanted to. You know, I was getting to a point to where I was having fun. I was there for, like I said, 3-some hours some days. And it got to the point to where it was more. By the time I was getting home and cooking dinner, it was like 10:30, 11. And then that became more unhealthy because we're eating so late and Sienna's pregnant. She's like, hey, can you like be home at a decent time, please? Like, yeah. So kind of calm down on that.
I have never been big on weightlifting. I mean, I did for a while. I weightlifted for about a year. But I was never good at it, so cardio has always been my thing. And I lose a lot of weight when I start
fucking doing cardio. Hate cardio. Yeah.
I
liked the sit down bike for cardio because I could do like a podcast or something or a YouTube video and watch overlanding videos while I was doing like the bike. But like I do mostly, it was like, yeah, it was like weight training, stuff like that. But
that'd be me on a treadmill just watching Family Guy.
Yeah. Treadmills suck, dude.
I used to do close to 75 to 80 miles a week.
Yeah. No, I liked the hiking aspect more. So like hiking and stuff is different for me. I could do double or triple the mileage I could do. Like I would like to do with you guys at some point, if we ever get there, I'd love to do that 40 mile dragon trail. Hike it.
I want to do that too. That'd be awesome.
It up. That'd be sweet.
And isn't there a bike trail up there too?
It's the same thing. But it's 40 miles, dude. It'd be such a fun, such a fun little backpacking trip. Do that. Do like 4 days.
Hell yeah.
10 miles away or so. That's pretty easy.
I think in the spring, I'm going to get my bike out and go through it because I think I want to start riding bikes.
Yeah, I should really do that too.
My ass is too fucking big to be on a bike, bro. I got to lose some more weight before I do that.
We'll get your weight down and then we'll get you on a bike. It'll all be great.
Yeah, no. I also like, you know, what's funny is that I could probably go cheaper on a roof rack if I didn't need my static to be so fucking heavy. my static gross weight that I need it to be to factor in my wife, my son, and I, because I weigh two times what I should, three times I should. I need it to be pretty high. So the Prinzu is the highest static weight rack that is commercially available for my truck. And I've gone through Sherpa. I've gone through Westcott Designs. I've gone through all sorts of them. Amazon, of course. But I think it's like 7-something. And I just need it to be a little bit bigger. I'm halfway worried about my fucking ladder. I'm going to have to get my ladder's going to break every time I go up and down it or something.
See, this is why you get a nice ground tent. Then you don't have to worry about weight.
No, we've did the ground tent. We're moving past. We're moving to bigger and better. Like I said, storing the bedding,
smaller and not necessarily better.
Well, it's actually bigger for me. It's a king size. It's a king size sleeping platform, and
it's
we have a two.
It's going to be smaller than the tent you've got right now.
Oh, that blue one?
Yeah.
Oh, that blue one. No, that's not an everyday thing. That was just the one that I brought out for you guys because that was a multiple day stay.
Yeah.
That thing's huge. Yeah. That one's great for those 3 days or, you know, whatever, just set up base camps. But the type that we're going to be doing, it's not going to work. It takes too long. It's too big. It's a lot easier for what we're doing to do how we're doing it. I want something that's going to last a long time. I want storage. It's going to double as storage. So it's going to be nice. Looking forward to it. I could camp anywhere on that. I don't have to worry about what kind of terrain we're on, how muddy the ground is. I don't have to worry about all that shit. The sand, the mud, the snow. I don't have to clear a bunch of snow out of the way.
No, you don't have to clear a bunch of snow out of the way for a ground tent either. You set it up on top of it.
Yeah. I'm thinking about quality of life for my wife and stuff too. I mean, like I said, this would all change if I was doing this solo. My kit would be very different. So
yeah. I just wintertime, I know she won't go out with me, so I just plan on solo winter camping.
Right. Take a dog.
Oh, I'll take her. She doesn't care. I got to get her a new Carhartt though, because the one that I got her when she was 1 year old, now she's almost 10 years old, and it doesn't really fit anymore.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. That's the plan. Like I said, paying off some stuff this year. Going to pay some debt off here in the next couple months. Hopefully everything's going to kind of go the way that we plan it to. And then we should have that tent by mid, late spring. And then I can start really, really building out to what we want. Customizing the back. I think I'm going to do probably more of a custom wood drawer type situation. Yeah. But yeah, we'll see, man. But
yeah, I should be getting my roof rack here in the next couple of months too. I had a little surprise situation where my OEM power steering rack that is a little over a year old decided, hey, I don't need to exist anymore. So I just got a new one today. It's not OEM. Shoot me, Toyota Purist. I went the OEM route once and it failed. So yeah. I just got a $170 one from Detroit Axle and new outer tie rods. And I'm going to rip my steering shaft out and do a couple weld mods to clean up the slop. And it's going to be a bear of a project, but it'll be worth it in the end, even if it ate into my pack out and roof rack budget.
Hey, right. At least it's better than replacing a whole bumper like I have to now.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? That sucked.
Never buy an Amazon bumper.
Yep.
Yeah, Gavin, you kind of bent my bumper out a little bit when we had to pull me out.
A lot of it.
Hey, they told me.
I know.
I could have hooked up my Kinetic and
no, Kinetic would have made it worse.
Oh yeah, that's even more. Yeah, that's even more energy, huh?
It is a poorly designed bumper. Isn't that meant for Kinetic pull? Even though we did technically do a Kinetic pull.
Yeah, kinda. Yeah.
Don't tell anyone about that. So. Yeah.
But yeah, you got it for free. It came on the truck you got a year ish out of it.
Yep, just about a year.
Just about a year. So I'd say for a free bumper, it's not the end of the world.
No. Yep.
Tip of the day, keep the Amazon bumpers away.
Yes.
And with that in mind, we thank you guys for listening in. And we'll see you next time.
Later.